Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' precious name I have prayed. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is it my ears? It sounds kind of hollow. Amen. Amen. Or my voice is baritone. It's part of the glasses effect. Okay. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the things that has been very heavy on my heart for some time now is I have come to realize that many of us, we don't know God. We think we do, but we don't. When you truly know who this God is, your outlook and approach to him will be totally different. The God that we claim to know is the God that we make time for. You know, when your schedule permits, you pray to him in the morning. And many days you are just so busy because you are a very busy person. You are just so busy, you don't have time for him. The God that we claim to know, that told us that this word, his Bible, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, it is life, it is the truth. This God handed that book to us, but we only find time to read it. Friends, if we truly know God, our outlook and our approach to him will be totally different. Believe me, God is great. Believe me, he is the all and the mighty God. On Sunday, I was talking about the creator of the universe. And many of us cannot, we cannot imagine the magnitude of this universe. I told them in church on Sunday that our galaxy, which is one of the billions of galaxies in this universe, our galaxy spans 100,000 light years. You really cannot wrap that around your brain. Believe me, you can't. 100,000 light years, very simply, I can tell you it's about 500,000 trillion miles. If you can think about that. That is our galaxy. And there are billions of these galaxies that are present in this universe. And that is the God that created you and I in his own image and in his own likeness. Think about this for a second. Having created you and I, we fell in grace. The first man sinned. And this God said, I will not give up on this man that I have created. He continued to walk with him, continued to walk with him, continued to walk with him when all else failed. Listen, listen close now. When all else failed, he came himself. He left his majestic splendor and glory, his throne. He came and walked and lived like a man. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, I just have a few minutes to do what I have to do so that we'll give room to worship and praise tonight. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He said God himself will come and tabernacle with man, and one important reason he's coming is to save his people from their sins. That's the main reason. He's not coming to make them happy. He's not coming so that they can be successful in life. He's not coming so that they can be victorious. In fact, there are many things that is wrong with the church today. Jesus, not his disciples, it was not a word of revelation. It was Jesus himself that said, in this world, you will have tribulation. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's the Bible, believe me. And Jesus said it. If it was the voice of an angel, you may doubt it. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world for you. The word I want us to examine tonight is the word save. And we will look at different contexts in which the same word was used. The Greek word that is translated save here is sozo. And sozo simply means salvation. It means deliverance. It means protection. Amen? Five things I want us to look at tonight. If it says he has come to save us from exactly what? Is what I want us to look at tonight. I love the message of prosperity. How many people know that money is good? What? You can deceive yourself and say, don't mind all those prosperity people. My money, money. May you not be poor. When God satisfies you and meets your needs, when your needs are met, and you get a sense of poverty briefly, you will know it's better to be rich than to be poor. Because both the rich and the poor that love Jesus and are saved, they will make it to heaven. Five things he has saved us from. Number one, very quickly. Number one, he has come to save us from what this text has told us, from sin. Friends, sin has had a grip upon the life of man. How many times have you determined that I will never do that again, but you go back to it? That is why Apostle Paul himself said, he said, the things that I will do, I find myself not doing. He said, but the ones I have proposed not to do, that is exactly what I find myself doing. He said, that tells me one thing, that there is a law that is at work in me that is not in line with the Spirit of God. So you and I, everybody that is born of a woman, needs help to be saved from sin. You need help to be saved from sin. I need help to be saved from sin. You will not just naturally not sin. Sin is inherent in our gene. It's like a child that is born with the sickle cell anemia defect in their gene. They just manifest it. They don't try to manifest it. They just manifest it. They are just sick. They have crisis. Even when they don't want to have crisis, guess what? They have crisis. You know what? It's in the gene. The only solution to that problem of sin is Jesus. It's Jesus. He has come to save you and I from the power of sin. Hebrews 7:25 uses the same word, sozo. He said, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Friends, listen to this. I don't have time to share this tonight. I saw something that just disturbed me yesterday. It disturbed me greatly. Friends, sin has gotten a grip on the hearts of men, that men will sin and not have a feeling about sinning anymore. We have become lethargic. In fact, even the righteous have begun to accommodate sin and say, it's their life. Let them live it as they like. He has come to save us from sin. The Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to deliver to the uttermost. May the Lord deliver you to the uttermost. May the Lord keep you to the very end. He has come to deliver us, to save us from sin. Number two, very quickly. He has come to save us from danger. You know, many a times we feel very vulnerable. I don't know about you. But when you find yourself in certain situations, you know that only God can work this out for you. I've shared many testimonies of how I'd almost given up on myself, by myself, but for God. May the Lord deliver you. May the Lord save you from everything that is troubling your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Matthew 14, you know the story very well. The Bible says they were on the sea, and there was storm at sea, and they saw like a ghost walking on water. And then Jesus said, "It is I, your master." Peter said to Jesus, "said, if that is you, bid me to come to you." And he began to walk on water. And then he took his eyes off of Jesus. Brethren, don't take your eyes off of Jesus. I don't care how boisterous the storm is. Do you know that while he was yet walking on water, the storm never stopped? While they were having the conversation, while he saw Jesus, while they all saw him and they were talking to him, the storm was there. When Jesus beckoned unto him to come and walk on water with him, the storm was still there. The only thing that was different was the eyes of Peter was on Jesus and not on the storm. Friends, for as long as your eyes are on the storm, you will be afraid. You say, how come I don't have faith? Very simple. Your eyes are on the storm. When you put your eyes on the Savior, the one that is able to save you from that dangerous situation, then salvation will come to you. Amen? Keep your eyes on him that is able to save you. Now, praise the Lord. Jesus, he came in bodily form. He walked this earth like a man. It was like you and I, flesh and blood. He walked this earth. And you know what? Before he went to the cross to die that gruesome death on the cross, he met with his disciples and he said something to them. He said, guys, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. You know, in America, what we celebrate Christmas. It's a big business. You know that. Multi-billion dollar business. But he never said, remember my birth. No place in scripture. No place in scripture. But Christmas has been blown out of proportion because some people must make money out of it. This, what we're doing tonight, is that do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. So number one, he's come to save us from what? From sin. You don't have power over sin. If you have found yourself, you are like in a cycle of sin. You sin, you repent, you confess, you feel sorry, you cry, you weep, you say, I will never do it again. And then you, maybe for a few days, you are able to stop, and then you come back to it. Any cyclical movements like that you see around sin, it shows you don't have the right solution. The right solution is Jesus. Is Jesus. He will deliver you from danger. He will save you from danger. He saved Peter and the rest of the disciples from that danger. Another time they were traveling on the boat. The Bible says Jesus was in the hinder part of the boat. Amen? And there was storm at sea. There was storm at sea. But because the Savior, the Master, was present in their boat, it was impossible for the storm to capsize their boat. Can I tell you something tonight? There is the devil that will capsize your boat and upturn your life has not been born. Oh, no, no, no. As long as you are in Christ Jesus. As long as if you are working it out by yourself, no problem. Good luck to you. But if you are in Christ Jesus, that demon has not been made. That demon has not been made. So number one is to deliver you, save you from sin, and to save me from sin. Number two, to save me from danger. Number three, Jesus has come, and all of these blessings is loaded in this communion table tonight. He has come to save us from sickness. He has come to save us from sickness. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 15, James 5, 15, it says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's the same word. It's the same word. So he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. May your sins be forgiven you tonight. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says, if we say there is no sin in us, it says we lie, and the truth of God is not in us. Amen. But it says the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith will deliver the sick. Is there anybody sick under the sound of my voice tonight? Listen to me. Because of the times that we live in now, many people's sensibility to the Spirit of God has been dulled. Think about yourself for a minute. When you have a headache, what's the first thing you think about? Tylenol. Or Aleve. Amen? Or Motrin. I think Motrin is unpopular. Most times I don't hear people say Motrin. Doc, is there a problem with Motrin? Okay. Is the name brand? Okay, they are all acetaminophen. No. Motrin is not acetaminophen. Okay. No, let's go there. All my drug dealers are in the house tonight. Okay, in case somebody didn't catch that, that's the pharmacist. Talking about the pharmacist. Really? You have drug dealers in church? I'm talking about the pharmacist. Talking about the pharmacist. Friends, the first thing that comes to mind is not God. It's medication. It's medicine. Medicine. You know why? We don't pray. We don't remember the last thing about faith anymore. All we know is what we can work out with our hands. Friends, I discovered something a few years back, that if everything I'm going to receive in this life, if I have to work for it, there's something wrong with that picture. Where is the favor of God? Where is the grace of God? Where is the mercy of God? If everything you have to break a sweat for it, that is the curse. That's the curse. It said, by your sweat, you will eat. That's the cursed life. May you begin to live the blessed life. In the name of Jesus. And the only way to live the blessed life is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I need to wrap up very quickly now. Number four, he has come to save us from slavery. He has come to save you and I from slavery. The Bible says, whoever you yield yourself to obey, he said, you are the slave of that person. Amen? Some have become slaves to sin. And some of us have become slaves to righteousness. God has come to deliver us from slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to wickedness. Slavery to every ungodly thing. Friends, listen to me. You may not be doing evil if you are in support of evil. And how can you be in support of evil? You see evil, you don't correct it, you just ignore it and look the other way. You are a participant. In fact, there's an old proverb that says anybody that steals, the one that receives the stolen good from him, in fact, it's legal, it's law. If you receive stolen good, you are just as guilty as the thief that stole the goods. In law. He has come to deliver us from slavery. Say, Jude chapter 1, verse 5. Jude is only one verse. Says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Listen, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for how long? Only. But Jehovah sent them a deliverer. The Lord will send you a deliverer. The Lord will send you help from above. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will raise men and women that will surround you and will help you. The helpers of your destiny, the Lord will send unto you. In the mighty name of Jesus. He is able to save us from slavery. Every poverty that has held you captive, the Lord will deliver you. Any resemblance of poverty and wickedness in your life, the Lord will deliver. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, it's a terrible thing for us to be believers and for people to still be able to attribute wickedness to our lives. Every association with wickedness in your life, the Lord will deliver. The Lord will deliver. In the name of Jesus. As I round up now, the number five thing I want to talk about, of course there's many, is he has come to save us from hell. Brethren, some people preach today that a loving God cannot cast people to hell. His love is true, but they forget that it's also a just God. He's a just God. He's a loving God. He's full of compassion. He loves you and I through and through. Otherwise, he will not leave his throne in heaven and come on earth to die for us. Yes, Nate? He wouldn't. Why would he do that? In fact, there is no love that can surpass that. He said, what manner of love is this that a friend would die, a man would die for his friend? There's no love. There's nothing else you can do for anybody after you have died for them. What else? You are dead. You have died. What more can you give better than your life? He has given his life that he may save us from sin. That he may save us from sin. Save us from hell. In John chapter 3, 16, you know it very well. 16, 17, and 18. We know 16 very well. Say, for God so loved the world. I thought you would chorus it. Verse 17. Technical. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He says he does not want you and I to perish, but he wants us to be saved. He wants us to be saved. He wants to deliver us from hell. Friends, it's one of two options when it comes to eternal life. Everybody will live forever. Somebody say amen. Amen. Every one of us will live forever. But where would we spend that eternity is a question that we must ask ourselves. I had somebody yesterday saying that there are many ways to Jesus. Said the Buddhists can find Jesus. Everybody, friends, don't believe. Listen to me. Please listen. Do I have everybody's attention? Please, very important. I want you to listen close to this. Do not believe everything you hear because it is on Christian radio or because it's on Christian television or because it's even in church. Because there are many people today that have bought into universalism. They are universalists. They say love will conquer all and save everybody at the end of the day. and they are very eloquent, and they will put the words together. You say, oh, that makes sense. It is because of the sinful nature that it will make sense to you. Friends, the only way to escape hell is through Jesus. Please, let's rise to our feet. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, the question I have for us tonight is, I know we bear the title Christian. If you will please bow your heads for a minute. Make it very personal. Make it very personal. Bow your heads. Close your eyes for a second. And just talk to him. What I want you to say to the Lord tonight is very simple. Say, Lord, search me. Search me. Where am I? Where do I stand? Where do I stand? Search me, Lord. 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 Whether you believe him or you don't believe him, there is a certain end for everybody. For those that believe, there is an end. For those that don't believe, there is an end. There's an end to all of this. Everything that has a beginning has an end. Everything that has a beginning has an end. Every man that is born of a woman, the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that judgment. Do you know him? Have you been saved from sin? Or are you still up today and down tomorrow? Whatever your situation is, I want you to lift both hands to God tonight. If you already know him, say, Lord, I thank you that I know you. If you are still shaky, say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Every moment, every hour, I need you. I need you. I need you. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, mighty God. Help me, King of Kings. Help me, Lord. Deliver me from sin. Deliver me from danger. Deliver me from sickness. Deliver me from slavery. Slavery to money. Slavery to sex. Deliver me, O God. Deliver my soul from hell. And establish my feet in the path of righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Thank you, Jehovah. I give you all of me, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, 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 blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What manner of love that you have shown to us, that you left your throne and came on earth to die for us. Jehovah, we thank you. We appreciate you. Lord, we receive your love, we receive your sacrifice tonight. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that, Lord, you would deliver us even from ourselves. In the name of Jesus, everything that we are holding on to that is not of you, that is, save us from ourselves and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be taking the communion tonight. And the Bible says, on the night he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together. And he gave them specific instructions. They ate the Passover together. And he said to them, "Do this in remembrance of me." And over the life of the church, believers have done this. And we are no different. We're doing the same tonight. In obedience to the Master. I want the pastors and the ministers to please come forward. The Bible says on the night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread and he gave thanks. Father, we thank you. And he gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body that is broken for you." He said, "Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me."
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
broken on our behalf. Everything that ought not to be broken, that is broken in your life, the Lord will put back together. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said we must do this in remembrance of Him. He said we must make known His death by this. And when we make known His death, what we are really doing is we are remembering the significance of that death. The blood of Jesus is the blood that speaks. The Bible says the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. So that tells me the blood has a voice. May the blood begin to speak for you tonight. May the voice of the blood of Jesus be heard on your behalf tonight in the name of Jesus. We're going to drink together as one body. On the same night that He was betrayed, He took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the New Testament. In my blood. He said, "Take, drink, and do this as often as you do this." Amen. We're going to drink together, and you're going to pray for yourself. Friends, God came into the earth. He came into the world that is created, died a gruesome death, not so they can make a movie out of it. Jesus of Nazareth, the Passion of Christ. That's not the reason why. He came to save and to deliver. Whatever has held you captive must let you go tonight. Every power contrary to the power of Jesus that has held you bound must let you go tonight. And so we drink in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. Moses appeared before Pharaoh. He said, "Let my people go. Today you go free. Tonight you go free. In the name of Jesus, every impossibility in your life will hear the voice of the blood of Jesus. Even tonight, in the name of Jesus, impossibilities become possible. In the name of Jesus, every sickness must bow. Every failure must bow. Every sinfulness must bow. Every unrighteousness must bow. In the name of Jesus, lepoko satalia radaboshantalia. A release in the name of Jesus. A release. A release, a release, a release from every ungodliness, a release from every wickedness, a release from every sickness, a release, I pray for release, oh God, I pray for release, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, our faithful night, when they partook of the Passover, Lord, it was a memorable night. Lord, make tonight a memorable night. A night to remember. A night of release. A night of release even from sin. A night of release from danger. A night of release from sickness. A night of release even from slavery. A night of release even from hell and the path of hell. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we bless you, we give you praise, we give you glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Brethren, I believe it, I know it.
without a doubt, somebody is going free tonight. Somebody is going free tonight. You know, a few days before the end of June, I was praying and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, in the 2 days remaining in the first half of the year, every blessing that has been held up must be released. It must be released. It must be released. The very day I prayed, a young lady called me, single lady, not yet married. He said, Pastor, I just bought a house. I want to make arrangement for you to come and pray over my house. The next day, another brother called me, said, Pastor, I need to show you. We just closed on a house. Everything that has been held up and jammed up, every blessing that has been withheld, there shall be a release.
Amen.
There shall be a release.
Amen.
There shall be a release.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah.